If you've ever felt unclear about what to say, underconfident when you speak, or frustrated that people don't take action after you presented, then today's show is for you. It will change all of that. Welcome to the Debrief Show, the show for leaders who want to bring out the best in themselves, their teams, and their communications. I'm Dee Clayton, your host, and a multi-award-winning executive coach and trainer. With over a decade of experience in leading big brand communications, I'm also a trainer in NLP and a certified practitioner in insights discovery and motivational apps. I blend all of these to help leaders and teams to communicate with more clarity, confidence, and impact. Joining me for this time in episode 2 is, well, just me. I'm sharing one of the most popular tools that we have, clear and confident communications with the SAS, the Simply Amazing Structure. In this episode, we're talking about why structure matters in presentations, in meetings, and in everyday communications, and how it can make the difference between being listened to and being ignored. We'll cover how structure instantly boosts your credibility, why a clear message makes people more likely to take action, and how to save time preparing whilst delivering with ease. For this episode, you can look at the show notes and you'll be able to see two visuals that accompany this, a quick reference guide and a one-pager diet product case study. Hi, I want to take you through a structure that works with your audience every single time. The problem is, if you don't use structure, is that perhaps you're feeling a little bit muddled and your message isn't very clear. Maybe you're lacking in conviction, and maybe you come across as a little bit nervous, or you're anxious or worried within yourself. And if other people sometimes misunderstand your message, or they're nodding and saying, yes, yes, that was very good, but they don't do anything about it afterwards, or they're avoiding owning any of their actions, that could be another signal that you're lacking structure in your communications. Another problem that you might see is that you think you spend far too long either over-preparing because you're wanting it to be absolutely perfect, or you're under-preparing because you want to avoid it and you're missing out on all of the preparation that you should be doing. And maybe you're noticing that you over-rely on notes when you're actually presenting, you're reading from a script. And then the problem with that is, of course, that you're reading from a script, you're not doing eye contact, you're not engaging people, and also it becomes a little bit monotone. I've got lots of resources on why you shouldn't use a script. Don't get me going on that one. And the solution then is to do the Simply Amazing Structure, which some of you might have heard me talk about already, and this is a quick overview into that. Now, the structure works for any occasion. It doesn't have to be a formal presentation with slides. It might be an informal meeting that you have. It might be a pitch. It might be a performance review. It might be an important telephone call. It might be a meeting with a member of a family and you want to get across a complicated message. Any of these will benefit from a Simply Amazing Structure, or a SAS, as I'm going to call it. Works in all situations, and on virtual presenting or virtual calls, even more important, right? Because it's so, you're missing the body language, so it's so much more important to get across your structure so that people can understand you. I have a quick reference guide, and I'm going to put that into the show notes, but it's a visual that shows you a 4-box grid. And if you imagine that at 12 o'clock, we've got the little intro, and at in the top right-hand corner, we've got the why section. Then in the bottom right, we've got the what. Then we move across into the how in the bottom left and the what if in the top left. So imagine that when I go through the grid structure. Firstly, before you do the grid, what you've got to think about is your audience. So the SAS is always prepared with the audience in mind. So you're thinking about who will receive the communication. You must take time to understand them, and you always, always, always do a different SAS for the different audience. Now, some parts of the presentation might remain the same depending on who you're presenting to. But every time you present someone different, don't just roll out the old presentation. You must adapt it to that audience, whether it's doctors, engineers, it might be business, it could be students, it could be Anybody could be your audience, but you need to tailor it to those audiences and make sure you do that. That's the key to success. In my courses, there's a whole workbook on this and pre-work on tailoring it to the audience. And some people don't find it easy to get into the audience's shoes. So perhaps we need to do a little talk about that at some point, but not yet. Let's move on, assuming you know your audience really well. So at that 12 o'clock on the grid, we've got the little intro, and it's called little intro because it's little and it's an intro. It's really just to ground people, to let them know where in the talk or in the conversation they are. So especially if you're going into a boardroom and they've been listening to lots of other presenters before you, you want to let people know what the context is that you're presenting in. Or perhaps this is a revisit on the meeting that you had last week. So it's just setting that context for people. I've already done episode one of the debrief show, all about the three secrets to grabbing their attention instantly. So the little intro and the why section are covered in episode one. So do take a look at that episode and learn a bit more about that. That's available on podcast and on YouTube. We talk about the attention tariff. So everybody's really busy these days and attention is even shorter than usual. So more than ever, this is getting more and more and more important to make sure you catch them at the start. Why do they want to, what is it about and why do they want to listen? We'll talk about the why in a minute. And a reminder of some of the stuff that we covered in episode one is this research from Amy Cuddy that people want to feel safe before they care how capable you are. So in the little intro, the context of this is that you must come across as warm and friendly first before you show your competence. So that's like building rapport. Now that's less easy to do when you're virtual. So when you're thinking about virtual presentations, think about how are you going to do that, bring that warmth first and competence second. Then we move on to the why section. So the little intro has been a couple of sentences, just putting people in the context. Then we move on to the why section, the top right in the grid and the handout that you can get in the show notes. This section is three motivating reasons why the audience want to listen to you. And again, more about that in episode one. So thinking about a diet context, for example, then you might want to say, well, let's assume I'm selling you a diet product, for example. You might want to say something like, so you might want to lose weight, get fitter, and have more energy. Is that you? If so, listen on. So you're just trying to say three things that get people to listen as to what the problems they're experiencing are, and then they're going to listen to you. So it might be about save time, save money, and avoid fines if it's a business context or something like that. Then we move on to the what section. Now, the what section is the bottom right of the grid, and it's those split into three boxes. So all of your content, this what section is probably what you think of as your presentation, the slides, the content, the graphs, the data, the information. There is another episode around this, which is cut the clutter, make complex ideas crystal clear. And that is on podcast and YouTube. And episode five also covers a little bit about moving around this, ban boring, hold attention in longer and virtual meetings. Very important webinars if you want to visit those to learn a bit more. But for now, let's just assume you're listening to this one only. What section is your message broken down into three parts. And those three parts are often the beginning of the story, the middle of the story, and the end of the story. And often the beginning is like the problem. So let's take the diet product because that's something that maybe everybody can associate with. So the problem might be, oh, you're feeling lethargic and you're feeling embarrassed about your body size, or you're lacking in energy, or you're not fitting into your size 12 jeans, or whatever the problem is for them, that because you've done your audience prep, you already know their problems. You can predict them, right? Then the middle piece is your solution. So I've got these amazing portable sachets that you can take to work, and they're full of vitamins and they're 100% natural ingredients. And that's the middle piece, which is your solution. And then the third piece is something around the future. So that could be a case study. So here's Doris, and Doris lost 2 stone over 6 months, and now she's fully energetic. She loves wearing her bikini on holiday, and she has loads of energy to play with her children. Whatever you want to portray as the future. So in business, you might have a problem around people don't have enough time, they don't have enough money, and they don't have enough, and they want more freedom, for example. Then in the middle section, you might put your system to them. So it might be some new software that helps them do things in a different way and to save some time and to not be bored at work, then get on with these other things they want to do. And then you'd do a case study of, say, another customer using that software and how many hours it saved them and how easy it was to implement. So that's your story, broadly speaking. There is another way to lay out your what section, but I'm not going to cover that in this webinar. What else do you want to know about the what section? The other thing you want to know about the what section is to make sure that you only really start talking about your stuff in the second box. So if you think about these three boxes, the second box is where you talk about your solution. The biggest problem that people often do is they start talking about their solution in the first box. So they start off with, well, here's my wonderful software and here's all the features of the software. Well, the person listening, largely speaking, is going to be bored and not interested because you haven't applied it to their world. First of all, you want to remind them of what the issues are that they're facing. And then you come into, in the second box, how your software maybe solves that problem. So that's a mistake to avoid. Really, you shouldn't be talking about yourself or your business or your idea until box two. Breaking it down into three steps also means that it's much easier for you to remember when you come to present it or when you come to think about it, and it's much easier for the audience to remember as well. The power of threes is really important. The audience can remember threes much more easily than they can anything else. So that's the what section and is quite a lot of your presentation. If you've got a longer presentation, let's say 2 or 3 hours or more, or like a training, or it's over a series of time, or it's very detailed, you might want to break your what section down into sub-branches. And guess what? There's three sub-branches for each what. So then you end up with three boxes and three branches coming off of those. You've got 9 branches in all. And each of those sections can be broken down, and it depends what you want to put onto them, but you might put on the three facts about block one and three facts about block two. So use those sub branches in order to hold, that's where you hold extra information if you need to. And if you really, really need to, you can break those down into three, but for a 1 hour presentation, three boxes and three sub branches each is more than enough. If you were going to develop some slides, you would then develop later, not now, but when you finished your SAS, you would develop your slides, and what you end up with maybe is perhaps 9 slides, one to represent each of your branches. Next, we're going to move on to the how section. So this is at the bottom left of the grid. The how section is all about how you inspire your audience to take action. So it's not about how you take action, it's about how they take action. Because remember, all of these boxes are about the audience. So even the titles are about the audience. The why section is, why should the audience listen? The what section is, what do I need to know, i.e. me as an audience person. The how section is, how do I take action, i.e. as an audience person. So even the titles are in the context of the person who's listening. So the how section is, how do I as an audience member take action now? Because I really liked your little intro. I know what you're talking about. For example, I like listening to your why section where you told me about why I should listen and what the benefits are for me for listening. I like your what section. You told me all the facts, all the figures, the argument from beginning, middle and end. And now I'm just thinking, well, what do I do with it? Where do I sign? How do I help you? Whatever it is. So the how section can be anything up to 7 pieces of information that help you to understand how you as the audience member, how to take action. So if it's a sales pitch, for example, you might want number 6 out of the 7 points to be, well, buy my product or arrange a customer meeting with me. And why are you thinking, is it only number six? Well, at number seven, you might have something like, and then we'll have a follow-up, or then I'll call you the next week to see how you're getting on with the product, or something like that. So then that's the end. So how do you get there at the beginning? Well, you don't want to go straight into the hardest ask at the beginning, because you're going to break rapport and lose them. So what you want to do is start off gently with something like, for example, feedback on the what section. So how one might be getting their feedback, getting their kind of nod to, do they agree with what you said in the what section? And how two might be, so therefore, shall we talk about this further? Would you like to arrange a meeting? And what three might be, I'm going to send you over a link and are you okay to get back to me by Wednesday? And they might nod. So what you're looking for, it, depending on how many people are in the audience, is buy into each of these steps. So if it's a smaller meeting, you'd literally go around the room and make sure everyone nods at each appropriate stage. And you might have one how for a particular person. So you might say, Bob in finance has just got how four, which is to check that we've got the budget for this by Thursday afternoon. Is that okay? And Bob would say, yes, that's fine. If it's a big audience, like a couple of hundred or even a couple of thousand people, clearly you can't get approval from everybody. And that's where you'd use something called tag questions. And that would help you to get an answer from the audience. So you might say something like, I know we can all do that by next week, can't we? And the can't we is a tag question, and you're getting your audience to nod along with you. So they are saying yes. Obviously, a tag question needs to be very specifically stated, and it's quite an advanced technique. So you can learn about that in my book, High Performance Presentations. There's more on that. And maybe I will do a little bit about that in another podcast, just having a think about that as we're talking. Now, there's also another webinar and podcast about episode 4, which is called Decisions, Not Delays, Inspire Action Now. So this how section is so important. It's got its own little podcast and video because so many people forget the how section. I often work with charities and they have done this wonderful presentation. They've really made you feel something, you're crying your eyes out, and then at the end they say thank you and they have their contact details on the end of a slide. They're wasting so much opportunity there. So ideally they want to ask for donations, let's say at number six or number seven on this list. And even if they feel that it's inappropriate to do that because it's an event, so maybe you're at a gala dinner or something and it's not maybe appropriate to ask for money, although you might say it is anyway, even if they want to go softer, they could say, we're looking for volunteers. You know, if you're interested in volunteering, just pop your name on this list before you leave today. Or would you like to buy some raffle tickets? Or would you sign up to our lottery, £1 a month lottery? Something like that is such a low ask and could bring in a lot of money and is rarely done. So think about whether you're in business, whether you're in charity, think about the how. Always be getting people to take some action. Now, I know what some of you are saying, well, what if it's just a weekly catch-up? There is still a how. And if there's not a how, don't do the talk, don't do the presentation. So in a weekly catch-up, for example, you might say something like, I've been working on project blah, 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 blah. And then in the how, you would say, so next time you're working on your project A, please think about how it relates to my project B. There must be an action, otherwise you shouldn't be talking about it, even if it's a light touch action. But when you say action is just to make you aware, that is a real cheat and it's not an action. Awareness is not enough. What do you want them to do with that awareness? Maybe support you when somebody's talking about it at the coffee machine. Say, yes, actually, I've heard about that project and it's really good, or I can see they're struggling and need more resource, whatever it is. So think about your hows. Don't be one of those people that misses out this section. Many people do miss out this section. Then the final top left-hand side of the grid is the what if section. Now, before I talk about this, most of the story has now been done. So by using the little intro, the why, the how, and the the little intro, the why, the what, and the how, your story has been done. I'm going to come back to the order between what and how in a moment. But let me just finish off first with the what if. The what if is where you have questions and thoughts that the audience might have. Now, they might have been asking questions and thoughts throughout, but this is more where the questions are about anything at all. It's about big picture stuff. It's about anything that they've thought about from the presentation. So it's not specifically questions and thoughts around how to get through the how section. It's maybe, can we have this in orange? Can you do this quicker? Can you do this next year? Can you do this for my new factory that's opening in Australia? It's random questions that they aren't so random. They're still to do with your presentation, but they might not be. And that's why it's great when you make sure you really want to ask these questions. Now, some people are so nervous about the presentation, they want to just get it over and done with, and they don't want to have the questions and thoughts section. They just rush through it. But this is where you ask, does anyone have any questions or thoughts about anything I've covered? So you're really opening it up to anything at all. Now, this is great for busting objections because people here will go, well, it's not really a question, but I'm not really sure about blah, blah, blah. And then you can deal with that objection. So you want to invite people's opinions in so that you can bust objections in the room. That's the best place to do it. The other thing it's really good for is upsell opportunities, because you might be saying, well, how does this presentation fit in with the thing we did last month? Or how's Sally getting on with her blah, blah, blah? So upsell, cross-sell opportunities are fantastic. And this is also great for knowing about the future. So you might say, and once we've done this, what else is going to happen in the next 3 to 6 months? Or how do you see this fitting into your plans for the next couple of years? What else is going on for you around this? So it's very valuable. It gives you extra information. It might be sort of outside of the scope of the presentation, if you like, traditionally, but it's really important to do this section. So I said I was going to talk to you about the order of the what and the how section. So the way I've taken you through it today is the way you would present it. So you do little intro, you then do why, you then do what, you then do how, and then you do what if. And there might be some questions in the how as well. When you're preparing, though, i.e. you're not doing the presentation yet, you are writing it, the way I suggest you do it is the little intro, then the why, and then you pretend that you've done the what but don't actually do it, and then you come across to the how and actually prepare the how. So think about how people are going to use this information and have your hows ready, and only then go back, reverse back into the what section, so that you're designing your content, all of your slides, if you have them, but all of your content, your three boxes, are designed about what does the person need to know in order to do what you want them to do in the how. That may be a little bit complex, but hopefully you get the idea that it's best to think about the end in mind before you get started on your content. And so many people do it wrong because they just get their PowerPoint laptop out and they're just writing their PowerPoint, and then it all just splurges out. And then by the end, they think, oh, it's not very good order, but I'm so committed to it now because I've just spent 14 hours doing the slides. Anyway, so that's my suggestion. More about that in the book and how that can work for you. Just one more thing around the what if is this is where you can have a wrap up. So you might just finish your presentation by doing a little wrapping up of the negative consequences if they don't do what you're saying in the how section, and the positive if when they do what you're doing in the how section. That's rather advanced. More about that in the book as well. So some top tips before we go. I've talked to you about the order when presenting. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 when you're presenting, and 1, 2, 4, 3, 5 when preparing. Another top tip is to just have two keywords to recall. So throughout the, when you see the quick reference guide in the show notes, you'll see that there's just two words for each of the elements, and they are to help you to just recall two words as you go. Remember, 3 is the magic number. And there is a different way around to do the structure if you need to, but more about that in the book. Remember, using 3, you can up to 7 hows, but 3 is a minimum number of hows, but you can use up to 7, and always be kind of closing as you go through that how section. And in the what if section, don't ask, do you have any questions? Because then people's monkeys get going and you put them on the spot and they think, oh, well, I don't have any questions, so I won't ask anything. What you want to ask is the phrase exactly, do you have any questions or thoughts? So that's the phrase to use. So wrapping up then, more resources to help you. We've got podcasts and YouTube videos. We're doing more podcasts all of the time and YouTube videos. And the ones that are there now that are really relevant to what we've talked about today is episode 1, the 3 secrets to grabbing their attention. That covers kind of more of the intro part of the SaaS. Episode 3, cut the clutter. That is more about the content, how to keep it brief and succinct in the what section. Episode 4 is about inspiring actions. That's about the how section. And episode 5 is banned boring, how to deal with longer meeting and virtual meetings. And that kind of covers all of the SaaS as well, but some extra ideas around engaging people when it's virtual or longer meetings with people's shorter attention spans, like we spoke about earlier. So take a look at those resources and please do, if you like them, share them with other people. I mentioned the book, High Performance Presentation. There's 3 chapters on the Simply Amazing structure in this book, and with 2 examples worked through, one for the diet product and one for a company conference, in the 2 different formats of the structure. So if you'd like to know more, there's more about that in the book. So please take a look at that. That's on Kindle, it's on Amazon, it's in paperback. So go ahead and buy that, take a look at that and study it, and then you'll have that forever to refer back to in all your presentations. So now it's time for you to take action. What I'd love you to do is think of an upcoming communication that's quite important to you, that's coming up just in the next 1, 2, or 3 days. Don't wait till your next presentation to do this. You can get going on using the SaaS in any important presentation you've got coming up. I always say that a bad SaaS is better than no SaaS. So if you just want to spend 5 minutes doing a SaaS with a pen and paper, just write out your grid, do your little boxes and scope it out. If you want to spend 3 hours doing a SaaS, that's appropriate too if it's an important presentation. So just spend a little bit of time or a lot of time, but just spend some time making sure that you've got all of the boxes in your presentation, and you will find that your presentations, your communications improve no end. Thank you so much for listening today, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to the show. We really appreciate you joining us. You'll find a quick reference guide and a one-pager for that diet product case study that I was speaking about in the show notes. If you want to listen to more episodes, and often we have insights from special guests, you can join us. And on podcasts, we're going to be on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And if you want to watch us in action, then we're on YouTube. Just search for my channel, D Clayton, and look for The Debrief Show. If you've enjoyed today's conversation, please follow and share this episode with a colleague or a friend who might find it helpful. And join us next time. Until then, keep bringing out the best in yourself, your teams, and your communications.